Tonight's shiur is titled Stories from the Gemara, the Witchcraft of Rav Nachman's Daughters. So tonight we're going to continue with our series of shiurim on different stories that I found in the Gemara that have an interesting humanistic point of view about Chazal or their children. So this one I found in Gittin, which I was doing with the Chavrusa, and the story is about Rav Nachman's daughters, Rav Nachman and the Gemara's daughters. And it's an interesting story, so we'll look at it, we'll analyze it, try to gain some insight into the story. So if you look in source number one, it's Maseches Gittin, Daf Mem He Amud Aleph. And we'll start. Benase de Rav Nachman, Bachshan Kidra Biadaihu. The daughters of Rav Nachman would stir the pot with their hands. Look at Rashi. In source number two, the first line, it says, Bachshan Kidra Biadaihu, Megisos Hakedera Biadehen, Keshihiro Sachas, So they were stirring these hot pots, these boiling hot pots with their hands. They would stick their hands in instead of a spoon and use their hands to stir the pot. And anybody who saw this would have thought that a miracle was occurring, and because of their righteousness, that this miracle had occurred, that they weren't affected by the heat of the hot water or the hot liquid in the pot. So the beginning of the story is that Rav Nachman's daughters used to practice this. They would stand, I guess, in a public area where people could see it, and they would stick their hands in a pot, in a boiling hot pot, and stir it. So the Gemara says, Kasha Leila Rav Ilish. So Rav Ilish saw this happening. He saw Rav Nachman's daughters doing this, and it bothered him. He didn't understand it. Ksiv Adam Echad Me'elef Matzasi V'isha B'chol Eile Lo Matzasi. It says in Koheles that only 1 in 1,000 men I found, and I haven't found any women. So we're going to look at that inside, but look at Rashi in source number two. Echad me'elef matzasi shehu tzadik. So I've only found 1 man out of 1,000 who's a tzadik, and I've never found a woman. So it troubled him. He didn't understand, or he wasn't sure whether this was really a nes or not. He wasn't sure. So it says, ha'ika b'nasei d'Rav Nachman, but he said they were the daughters of Rav Nachman, so perhaps they were unique, and perhaps because of their uniqueness, because they were from Rav Nachman and they were special, that's why this nes was occurring. So garmin lehu milsav ishtavion. So what happened was, this is a strange twist in the story. There's a couple twists here. But what happened was, they get taken captives. The daughters of Rav Nachman get taken captives by non-Jewish captors. Vishtavai ihu nami bahadayu. And also Rav Ilish gets taken with them. So the three of them are all taken as captives. Rav Ilish and Rav Nachman's daughters. So Yom Achad, one day, Hava Yosef Gabe Hahu Gavra Dehava Yada Belishna Tzipori. So one day, Rav Ilish, who is the one who was taken captive with Rav Nachman's daughters, he was sitting with a man who understood how to interpret the language of birds. That he understood what the birds were saying. He could understand their language. Asa Urva V'Kakarile. So Rav Ilish noticed that a raven had come to this man and was calling to him. So Amar Le, Micah Amar. So Rav Ilish said to this bird talker, the person who understood the birds, what is the bird saying? So Amar Le, Ilish Barach, Ilish Barach. So the man responded that the bird was saying, Ilish, escape, Ilish, escape. So look at Rashi, three lines down. Amar Le, Rav Ilish, Lahu Gavra, Micah Amra, Hi Orva. What is this raven saying? So that's what it was saying. So Omar, he said, Rav Ilish said, Urva shikrahu velo smichna alea. So he said, a raven is a liar. I'm not going to rely on this raven. Adahachi asiyona v'kakari. So and then a dove came. So a different bird came. A dove bird came. And Amar le, Maika Amra, Rav Ilish said, what is the dove saying? Because to the man who could interpret or understand the way birds spoke in their language. Amar le, Ilish barach, Ilish barach. Same thing. Escape Ilish, escape Ilish. So Omar, he said, Rav Ilish said, Knesset Yisrael kiyona metilya, mesila. So the Jewish people are compared to a yona in Shir HaShirim. Shmamina misrachish le'nisa. So he understood that if he tried to escape, that he would be successful and a nes would occur to help him escape. Rashi, kiyona metilya, kiyona nimshala. So the Jews are compared to a yona. Okay, so Omar, so this is the second part of the story. So the first part of the story is that Rav Ilish sees the daughters of Rav Nachman doing this miraculous thing where they're stirring these hot pots with their hands. Then they get taken captive. And in the middle of the story, Rav Ilish is alone with a guy who is able to understand the language of birds. And these two birds come. First, the Orev, the raven, comes, and he says, Ilish, escape. And Rav Ilish doesn't believe the bird, the raven. But then the Yonah comes, and he does believe him, and he tries to escape because he knows that a nes is going to occur. So now this is the last part. Amar Ezel, back in the Gemara, about a couple lines up in the source number one. Amar Ezel Achse Benase de Rav Nachman. I'll go see the daughters of Rav Nachman. E Kaiman Behem Nusayu Adrenu. If they're still righteous, if they're still believable, then I'll save them. I'll bring them with me. So Amar Nishay Kol Mili De Islu Sidron La Dadi Bevesa Kise. So how is he going to find out if they were legitimate? If you'll see what that means, but how is he going to find out if they were righteous? So he said, women, they talk a lot in the bathroom. Look at Rashi, source number two, a couple lines down. Sidron lahadadi noatzos yachad bevesakise. Women tend to go to the bathroom and they talk to each other in the bathroom in private. Sham inhu deka amran. So he was listening in on the daughters of Rav Nachman, and he heard what they were saying to each other, and this is what they said. Ede Guvrin Vinarde Guvrin, our captors are our husbands, and so too our husbands from Nahardea are our captors. Our husbands. So our captors are our husbands, and our husbands in Nahardea are our husbands. Look at Rashi. We're like six lines down in source number two. Ede Guvrin, Ilu Hashabon Ba'alenu Hain. These captors are our husbands. Vinardea Guvrin, Yisraelim, the Jews, Anashenu Shibinardea Ba'alenu Hayu. They were also our husbands. Klomar, Keshem Shayu Ba'alenu Kach Ilu Ba'alenu, Einan Atrichin Oldahem. So they were saying, we like our new captors as our husbands better than our real husbands. Lema Lehu Lishvuyahu Dilarachikna Mehacha. Let's tell our captors to take us far away, basically escape with them. Dilo Lesu Inshin Vilishmai Vilifarkinan, so that our husbands don't find out and they'll end up redeeming us. So Rav Nachman's daughters, in the end, Rav Ilish is listening to them in the bathroom, and really they're talking about how much they love the men that captured them and how they're their real husbands. Rashi. They said, let's tell our captors to take us far away so we can elope with them and escape with them. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Asa Ihu Vahu Gavra, come Arak, Ilish escaped. Asa Ihu Vahu Gavra, he went with this man who could interpret the bird's language. Lididu Israqish Lenisa, Avar Bimibara, Vahu Gavra, Ashikhua Vakalua. So he was saved through Nase, but the other guy was killed. Gihadran Vasan. Then when he returned, he said that the way that they stirred the pot was through witchcraft, was through magic. Okay, that's the end of the story. So it's a strange story, but let me just summarize. And there's a lot of parts to it. It's one story in Gittin, and the story is about Rav Nachman's daughters. So Rav Nachman, a great Talmud Chacham, his daughters, just to summarize, would stir a pot, a boiling hot pot. Imagine a pot of meatballs and sticking your hands inside to stir it. That's what they did. So Rav Ilish at first thought that maybe they were tzidkanios, maybe they were righteous, and this was like a nes, that was a demonstration of their righteousness. So what happens in the story is that they all get taken captive, and Rav Ilish is with this man who can interpret the language of birds. And he understands from the second situation where the Yonah comes that he should try to escape and that a nes will occur. So he goes to the daughters of Rav Nachman to try to find out if they're worthy of being saved. So he listens to their conversation in the bathroom, and he realizes that they fall in love with their captors, that they're more in love with their captors than they are with their real husbands, and that they don't want to go back to their husbands. So what ends up happening is that Rav Ilish escapes. And then at the end of the story, it says that he realized after the fact that the way that they were stirring the pots was through witchcraft, through magic, shafim. And it wasn't a nace because of their righteousness, because obviously they weren't righteous. They were sleeping with their captors, and they wanted to discard their real husbands. So that's the end of the story, okay? So the three parts, in order to analyze it, I felt like the best way to analyze the story is to break it into the three parts. The first part is the part about the fire, how he thought that they were tzidkanios, that they were righteous because of the fact that the fire didn't bother them. They could stick their hands into a hot pot. The second part is the bird part, where he's with a man who's interpreting the birds, and he believes the second bird, the Yonah. And then the third part is the ending of the story, how he realizes that they stirred the pot with magic. What does that even mean? What does it mean that they stirred the pot with magic? So we'll try to understand those three parts of the story. Okay? By the way, if anybody on the phone line does not have their mute button on, it would be great if you could put it on, because I hear a little background. Of course, if you want to ask any questions, just take your mute button off and just stop me. Okay, but those are the three parts of the story that we're going to analyze. So the first part of the story is this idea that because Rav Ilish saw them do this, he assumed that they were tzidkanios, they were righteous, and that's why they were able to do this miracle, that they were able to stick their hands in a very hot pot of food and not get burnt and not be affected by it. So there's a Gemara in Chagiga that is kind of similar to what Rashi says over here and our Gemara says about the way that tzaddikim react to fire. So if you look in source number 3, in Chagiga, it says as follows, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Abahu said, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, Tamidei Chachamim ein or shel gehenem shel letes behen. So a Talmud Chacham, a person who's wise, who learns a lot of Torah, the fire and the heat of Gehenim which is hell in the Torah, so it doesn't affect them, it doesn't rule over them. Kal v'chomer mil salamandria. This is a weird idea. Salamandria was an animal they believed that came from fire. Of course, we know that there's no such thing, but that's what they believed in. So he said that the ore of Gehenim, the heat of Gehenim, doesn't affect tzaddikim, Tamidei Chachamim. Uma salamandra she told us eshi hasach midama ein or shel letes bo tamidei chachamim she kol gufan esh tichsev halo kol devari ki esh nu mashem alachas kam vekama. So if a salamandra, which is this animal that was created from fire, Rashi says it's an animal that's created from fire, if it's not affected by or by fire, and if anybody who drenches in its blood can be protected, so certainly a Talmud Chacham, whose whole essence, his whole body is fire, as it says that the words of Hashem are like fire, alachas kama v'kama. So the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is protected from the fire and the heat of Gehenim because his whole entire essence is fire. And the idea is that the words of Hashem are like fire. So obviously we have to answer this idea. What's this idea? And this is the basis for Rav Ilish's concept that perhaps Rav Nachman's daughters were being righteous. Because if you look in Rashi, in source number 2, he says that the first line, Megiso sakedera biyadein kishirosachas, they would stir the pot with their hands when it was boiling hot. V'haroah, the person who saw it, sover she'eno or sholetes penchet tzidkani osein. A person who saw this assumed that they were righteous, and that's why they were protected. And this Gemara in Chagiga says that the righteous, or it doesn't say righteous, it says tamidei chachamim, are protected from the fire of Gehenim. And the reason they're protected is because of the fact that their whole essence is fire, because they learn Torah and the words of Torah and the words of Hashem are like fire. So what does that even mean? What's this idea, the concept that a chacham is protected from the fire of Gehenim or from fire? And how do we explain that? What's that idea? What's that concept? So we're going to have to explain that. Okay, so that was the idea that Rav Ilish assumed Rav Nachman's daughters were demonstrating, that they were protected from their fire because of their righteousness. So we have to explain why did he think that? What's this concept in the Gemara that a Talmud Chacham and Tzidkanios are protected from fire? So that's one question. So the second part is why was it so stunning to him that a woman would be protected? So if you go back to source number 1, Rav Ilish says Kashale L'Rav Ilish, it was disturbing to him that Rav Nachman's daughters were able to do this. It says that I found one man in 1,000, but I haven't found any women. But maybe this is because they're the daughters of Rav Nachman and they were deserving of this nace. So there's a pasuk in Koheles that he's quoting in source number 5. It says as follows. It's Parak Zion in Koheles, pasuk Chavches. Asher od biksha nafshi v'lo matzasi, adam echad me'elef matzasi v'isha b'chol eilu lo matzasi. So I've been searching out, and I haven't found a man amongst the 1,000 I found, but a woman I've not found. So look at Rashi, source number 6. Asher od biksha nafshi, levad eile ha'amurim l'mala, aside from those that which I have been seeking out above in Koheles, shebikashtim v'lo matzasim, that I've sought and I haven't found. Biksha od nafshi k'sher b'nashim, I was looking for a woman who is kosher, who is appropriate, v'lo matzasi, and I haven't found them. Ki kulan daitan kala alehan. So this is a hard Rashi, but he's saying that their das, their thought processes are light. So we'll have to explain what that means, but it sounds kind of demeaning that Rashi's saying that in Koheles, he was looking for a good woman, but he couldn't find any good women because Kulan Daitan Kala land. So what does this mean? We'll have to explain this. And go keep going in the Koheles and Rashi. He says, Adam Echad Me'elef Matzasi. Benoeg Sheba Olam Elef Nechnasim Lemikra. Ein Yotzim Mehem Latzliach Shiruim Lemishna. Of 1,000 people who go to learn Psukim and Torah Shebechsav, only one ends up, or very few, are successful and end up learning Mishnah. Elamea, 100. Ve'osa Mea, 100 out of 1,000 learn Mishnah from Torah. Ve'osa Mea she'nichnasu l'mishnah, ein yotzim hem l'gemara ela asara. Out of the 100 that learn Mishnah, only 10 come out and can learn Gemara properly. Ve'osa nasara she'nichnasu l'gemara, ein matzliach mehem ela echad l'hora. Only one comes to the level of hora where he can give psak. Harei echad me'elef, that's the 1 in 1,000. So you start with 1,000 and only one is successful in hora. But there was no women that he found that could do this, that were on the level of a man. So what does this mean? So Rav Ilish says, Adam echad me'elef matzasi, v'isha b'chol eila lo matzasi. So he's saying that he was stunned by what he saw with Rav Nachman's daughters, and he didn't. There's a part of him that didn't believe that this was really an ace. And he's quoting the pasuk from Koheles, and the pasuk says that, based on Rashi, that basically there are very few people who are successful in learning. And he's never found a woman as successful as a man. That and we have to explain that. What does that mean? Why not? What's this talking about? And Rashi says that of 1,000 people that start learning, only 100 emerge to learn Mishnah, and only 10 learn Gemara. And of those 10, only one is able to be posek. So what's but no women. So why not? What's the difference between a man and a woman in this area? And what does this have to do with Rav Ilish's understanding as to why he was so stunned by Rav Nachman's daughters being protected from the fire of this pot? Okay. So one other point, and then we'll get to the first idea. I think it's an interesting point, an interesting idea. So the Tiferes Yaakov, one of the Achronim, also mentions an interesting point on this pasuk. He says in source number 7, by the way, I think somebody does not have their mute button on, and I can hear the background noise, so if you can try to put the mute button on, I'd really appreciate it. Okay, so if you look in source number 7, the Tiferes Yaakov says on this, Nira lefarish lefi shedarsho adam echad me'elef ze Avraham v'isha b'chol eila zu Sara. That the drasha of this pasuk is that the one man is Avraham, but the isha b'chol eila lo matzasi is Sara. The woman that I haven't found is Sara. What does this mean? V'akavana lefi shetzadekes hatzadik, shetzidkas hatzadik, sorry, the righteousness of a tzadik, gorim lo she'ena eish sholepo. It protects him from fire. V'hine lo matzinu shenisa kadosh baruch hu be'esh rak l'Avraham. That Hashem only he only tested Avraham with fire by the kivshan, by the story of the furnace with Nimrod. He says v'lo l'sara, but not to Sara. V'chein l'chananya mishal v'azaria, and also by Chananya mishal v'azaria v'Yeshua ben Yotzadak v'lo matzinu shenisa l'shum isha be'esh. You never see in Tanakh that any of the nisim or the tests to a woman is fire. V'hainu dekashale kevan sharash ena eisholei pivnasi de Rav Nachman. That was what was troubling Rav Ilish. So Rav Ilish was troubled by the fact that normally only a man is protected from fire, only a tzaddik, but not a tzaddekes. So that made it, and that's how he's learning the pasuk in Koheles. So he was troubled by it. What does this mean that Rav Nachman's daughters were protected from the fire? When you see it throughout Tanakh that no women were really tested or a nes occurred to them to protect them from fire. So what is this idea? So we have to answer this. So what's this idea that the daughters of Rav Nachman were protected from fire, and the assumption that the reason why they were protected was because of the fact that they were tzidkanios? So what does that mean? And furthermore, why is Rav Ilish, based on the pasuk in Koheles, why is he distinguishing between a man and a woman? What's the difference vis-a-vis this miracle of being protected from fire? Why does it make a difference whether you're a man or a woman? Like, what does one have to do with the other? So that's the question. Okay? Last point. Last Gemara as a kasha, and then we'll get to the idea. So last Gemara is Ksubos, Saf Zayin Amabez, and it's another story, and it kind of contradicts our Gemara a little bit. So we'll try to answer it. So it says, Mar Ukva Havya Anya Bishivuse. Mar Ukva, another one of the Amoras in the Gemara, had a poor person in his neighborhood. To have a rugil kol yoma de shadi le arba zuzi betzinora de dasha. He would always drop off money in this poor person's door socket. Yom echad amar ezel echse man ka'avid ki yahi tivusa. The poor man wanted to find out who was giving him tzedakah. Hahu yoma nagale lamar ukva lebe medrasha. So that day, one day, Mar Ukva was late to the base medrash. Asya de bisu bade, his wife went with him. Kevan de chazuya de kamatzi le ledasha nafak basraya. Once the poor man saw them coming to the door, he ran after them. Rahut mekame aila lahu atuna de hava garufa nura. So Mar Ukba and his wife ran away, because they, you'll see at the end of the story, they didn't want to embarrass the poor person, and they ran away into a furnace, into a fire that had been scraped, so boiling hot area, I don't know, a fire, it was an oven or like a furnace, there was no actual coals, but it had just been scraped of fire. Havaka maikilin kare de Mar Ukba. They were burnt. His feet were burnt of Mar Ukva. Amrle de bisu, but his wife was fine. His wife was fine. She wasn't burnt. And the wife said, "Shaku karecha osiv achrai. Put your feet on my feet." So he got weak. Chalish daite. Amrle ana shechichna begave de bisu umekarva anesi. So she said, "I'm home. I'm always home. And aniim come to me at home, and I don't go out to them. And also, I give them. I don't just give them money. I give them what they need. Whatever they need, I give them." So my kule hayden, the Gemara says, why did he go through this whole thing? Why did they go through this? The Amar Marzutra Bar Tuve Amar Rav Amri La Amar Rav Huna Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chasida Amri La Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai Nochlo Adam Sheyimtzor Atmo Osoch Kivshan Ha'esh. It's better to throw yourself in a furnace Val Yalbim Pnei Chaver Barabim than to embarrass. And they didn't want to embarrass the poor person. Menala Mitamar Dichsev Himutzes. They learned out from Tamar that she was ready to die and be killed with fire than to say that Yehuda had been with her. So the point of this Gemara is that you see from this story that the wife of Mar Ukba also was protected from the fire in that story. So what's this idea, what's the concept that only a male Talmid Chacham should be protected from fire? Why is it such an anomaly that a woman would be protected from fire? What's this idea of being protected from fire at all? Like, what is that concept vis-a-vis a tzaddik or a Talmid Chacham? Okay, so those are all the questions. Anybody have any ideas? So I was thinking about a possibility to explain the first part of our story. So I think and what's the difference between a man and a woman vis-a-vis this miracle? So what's the main idea? The main idea is that when it comes to fire, a lot of the idea, there's a physical element, but there's also a mental element. So you see that, I think one of the, Tony Robbins? One of the motivators, the motivational speakers, one of the things is, one of their tests is that you're supposed to walk over hot coals and see if you can walk over hot coals. And the idea is that you're supposed to, if you can mentally conquer the fear of walking on hot coals, on fire, so you'll be protected. And although there's a physical component of fire, there's a tremendous mental component as well, that you're able, a lot of times people are able to overcome, you might get burnt, but you're able to overcome the pain of the fire if you're able to be mentally tough. There's a mental toughness that is part of the idea of being protected from fire, of not being affected. Of course, there's physical also, because I know many women, after cooking for many years, are immune to being burnt by a fire. So what happens is that your hands get desensitized to the fire. But aside from the physical element, there's also a mental toughness that a person has to have has to be endowed with in order to be protected from fire, or to feel protected from fire. So I think the idea, what's the concept? The concept is that it's not that women are weaker than men or less, you know, mentally creative or as smart as men. But I think what Rav Illish noticed is that there's this, that by tzaddikim, the idea of them being protected from fire is that when you learn Torah and you're disciplined in learning Torah, so what ends up happening is it develops into a certain mental toughness, a mental, I would say, focus. And even in learning, like Rashi says in Koheles, very few people emerge from learning Psukim to learning Mishnah and to learning Gemara. So there's a whole process of mental gymnastics that a person has to go through in order to achieve that level of learning. But it's not about creativity necessarily, and it's not necessarily about how smart you are. It's more about the ability to be tough. And a lot of times, the emotions of man, the aggression, the ambition, all those elements that men sometimes are negative, can add to that toughness, that mental toughness that a man can have in the face of some adversity. So I think the idea is that when a man is tested, like Avram was tested by fire, it's not just that he was magically protected from the fire, but the idea was that Avraham had the capacity to, A, be mentally firm enough and not be afraid and not be affected by the fear of going into the furnace. So he had the mental toughness to be able to overcome the fear of going into the fire. And also, like I was saying before, a lot of being burnt and being affected by fire is attributed to the mental, to the psychological. And if you're able to overcome that, like by the walking on coals situation, so you'll be protected from it. So I think that's what the Gemara and Chagiga is saying, and that's what a lot of these sources are saying. They're saying that a Talmud Chacham isn't affected by the heat of Gehenna. What it means is that a Talmud Chacham, when he learns Torah, he develops a certain focus, a certain mental toughness, and a focus that he's able to not be affected by the pain or the fear of the pain of fire. And it's not necessarily physical, but it's talking about a certain mental capacity and mental toughness that a man develops through learning Torah, through learning the words of God. The words of God are like fire, meaning that they can give man the ability to protect him and to give him that mental focus. And it's the same thing in Koheles. It means, what does it mean that Adam echad me'elf matasi v'isha b'chol el lo matasi? It doesn't mean that, and Isha, like Rashi says, nashim daitan kalos, it doesn't mean that they're not as creative or women aren't as smart as men. It's just talking about a certain toughness, mental toughness, focus that he didn't see, that Koheles didn't find in his generation amongst women. It was more common amongst men, but even amongst men, very few had that level of mental toughness to be able to go through this whole experience of learning and getting to Horah. So the idea the Gemara is saying is that Rav Ilish noticed that the daughters of Rav Nachman were able to do this great nace, but what was troubling him was this concept that whenever he thought of a nace of fire occurring, he never thought of it occurring to a woman, because usually it's associated with a certain mental toughness, a certain ability to overcome that fear of fire, and also an ability to focus your mind. So similarly, I think there's a story about I think it was a Briskerov that I know this is a famous Gadol story, but there's a lot of stories about how they would have surgery without having anesthesia, meaning they were able to focus, or they didn't want, I think it was the Brisker Rav, he didn't want anesthesia, because they were able to focus their mind on a certain point or a certain idea to the point where they were able to completely block out the pain of the surgery. So too by fire. If you're able to focus your energies on the correct thoughts, you're able to block out the fear and the pain of the fire. So then, only then will fire not affect you. So part of the nace of Eish isn't just purely miraculous, but it's also based on the person's capacity to not be afraid of it and to be able to withstand it. And that was Avraham. Avraham was able to withstand it. So perhaps Sarah wasn't able to do that. That's not a negative on Sarah. It's just a different personality trait that Avraham had that Sarah didn't possess. So I think that's the idea in the first part of the story. So then we get to the story of the birds. This is the second part of the story, and then we'll get to the end. So the second part of the story is how Rav Ilish was with this man who was able to interpret the language of birds, and the first bird was a raven, and then the raven said to this, he started, chirping to this man. And Rav Ilish wanted to know what he was saying. And it turns out he was saying, you should escape, Rav Ilish. But he didn't believe the Orev. But then when a Yonah came, the dove came and said the same thing. So then he believed the dove, because he said that the dove is like Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. So what exactly is the point of the second part of the story? So the first part of the story we just analyzed. But the second part, what is the idea? So look at source number 9. It's the Marsha. The Marsha says, Garmaluhu Milsa Vishtavion. So he just starts off the story by saying that the fact that they were demonstrating mixing the pot with their hands was what caused them to be captured. So Rav Ilish willingly was taken with them because he wanted to find out and make sure that it wasn't real, that it was just magic. So Amalei Ilish Barach, he didn't believe the Orev. So the Orev lies when it's sent out. By Noach, you see that there were two birds sent out. First it was the Orev, but the Oriv didn't come back really. And then there was, and it didn't give him information, but the Yona was the one who gave him the information that the flood had stopped. Va'amar adahachi asa Yona, v'zeh Yona vada ina mishake v'shluchuse, but then he saw that the Yona, and he believed the Yona, that it wasn't lying, kimefurash gabi Noach. Like by Noach, it's a similar idea. Va'amar deshema hu gavra mishaker, but he thought that maybe the guy was lying, the guy who was interpreting the language. Elisha amar shehemim bedavar, but he believed him. Kevan the Kevan de Kasa mat, so Knesset Yisrael, sorry, Matil Yona. Since the Jews are compared to a Yona, Shmamina de Kushtahu, he believed it in Misrachish Nisa, that a miracle would occur to him. So the Marsha is saying that not only was Rav Ilish convinced by the bird, that the bird was saying, escape Rav Ilish, escape Rav Ilish, but also he believed that the man interpreting the bird's language wasn't lying to him. So because the Yona is like Klal Yisrael, it's compared to Klal Yisrael. And if you look in source number 12, it's in Shir Hashirim. It says, Ani Yeshena, I am asleep, libi air, my heart is awake. Kolo dodi do fake, kol dodi do fake, pischi li achosi rayasi, open up the door, my sister, Yonasi samasi, my dove, my perfect one, Shiroshi nimlatal, my head is filled with dew, ktsosai rishise laila, my locks are filled with the drops of night. So he understood. So what's the purpose of this part of the story? That he understood. He didn't want to believe the Orev and the interpretation of the Orev, and he wasn't relying on the Orev to escape. But when the Yona came, he believed the guy, and he tried to escape because he thought that a nace was going to occur to him. So what exactly are we supposed to learn from this part of the story? It's a strange element in the story. So what should we learn from it? Right? So that's the question. So I brought in the pasuk from Noach, because the Marsha quotes Noach. It says in source number 10, Vayishalach esau rei, vayitzei yatzo vasho, vadyevoshu samayim al aretz. So it says that Noach first sent out the raven, and then it was just going back and forth, but it didn't give him, like the Yona was the one who came back with the, you know, with the olive tree branch, but the orev didn't. So the idea was that somehow what the Marsha is alluding to is that Rav Ilish noticed that the Orev was the Shakran, was the liar, and the Yona was not the liar, was the accurate one. The Radak says that the difference between, aside from the Gemara, there's a Gemara and a Medrash on it, the Pshat is that an Orev isn't really made, it's not a messenger bird. That the Orev, he sent out the Orev to find Nevelos, to find dead carcasses, and it would come back and he would know. But the Yona is more of a messenger bird. Yona is actually, doves are trained to be messenger birds. And Noach realized that the Orev was not the appropriate bird because it didn't come back and really give him information. But the Yona really did that. The Yona was the one that came back because its nature is to come back to that which it's sent from. That's part of the nature of the dove. So you understood that. That's what the Radak says in source number 11. But what's the idea of this part of the story? So I think the idea is that when a person, we say that your person is not supposed to rely on nace. And here you see that the man who interpreted the language of the birds actually died when they tried to escape. Only Rav Ilish was saved. So what exactly is going on here? So we know that you're not supposed to rely on nace. Ein somchen al nace. But Rav Ilish at first saw the Orev, and he asked the man what the Orev was saying. And the Orev said, Baruch Ilish, but he didn't believe the Orev. So Rav Ilish, what it's showing you is that Rav Ilish didn't want to rely on Nace. In fact, at first, it would have been really easy for him, for Rav Ilish, to give in to the idea that the Orev was telling him to escape. And he had to fight against his inclination or his desire to believe it, because it could just be a projection. And he realized that about himself. Meaning, if you want to escape and you want somebody to tell you to escape, you're going to be looking for that. So what it's showing you, what this part of the story is showing you, that Rav Ilish, he had to be convinced. He had to be shown an element of a hashgacha. He had to be shown that this was definitely Mehashem in order to believe that it was right to escape. Ein somchen al nes, that he couldn't rely on the nes. So initially, when the Orev comes and tells this man, escape Ilish, he questions it because he's not sure whether he's just thinking that this is what the Orev is saying in order, because he's projecting and that's what he wants to hear. So, but when the Yona comes and the second bird comes, so he realizes from the Orev Yona sequence that there is some type of message being sent to him on a deeper level. So I think the point of this part of the story is showing you that you have to be careful in these situations. In dangerous situations, a lot of times a person projects onto what they hear or what they see because they want certain information to be told to them. A person who's in jail wants to be told to try to escape, that he's special and that he's going to be able to escape and be saved. You want to hear that. So Rav Ilish was aware of that, and that's why he doesn't believe the Orev at first. He believes it's a chakran, because he understands that there's a projection here, that you project onto something that you hear, or that which you want to hear. So if you're in jail, you're captured, you want to hear that somebody's telling you that you should escape and that you're going to be saved. So until he got the Yonah, until he saw some idea about God, or some idea about God's love for Klal Yisrael, which is what the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim is about, so until he saw that, he wasn't able to identify this as a situation of Ashgacha. So the idea over here, in the second part of the story, is about how we're supposed to identify a situation or scenario of Ashgacha. That we have to be careful, that our minds tell us and our emotions tell us what we want to believe or what we want to feel, but we have to be you have to be analytical, and you have to address the situation in an analytical way in order to trust the Ashgacha in this situation. So the idea of the Orev and Yonah is teaching you that first the Orev came, he heard what he wanted to hear, but he still wouldn't give into it. He still didn't think that it was Ashgacha until he had enough information and enough insight in this scenario in order to escape. So he wouldn't rely on Nace until he had all the information and all the proper insight that he needed. So that's the second point. The last point is what's the purpose of the story at the end? That he knew, once he heard that they slept with their captors and that they loved their captors, he knew that it was Kshafim. So if you look at the Marsha in source number 13, the Marsha says, Rotza Lomar, it's in source number 13 on the second sheet, Rotza Lomar, Devada Yada Shehen Nev Alos L'Shavayin, he knew that they were sleeping with the captors. He wanted to see or make sure that it was just rape and that they were forced into it. If that were the case, he would take them back. But once he saw that they enjoyed it, that they really wanted to be with their captors, like it says, they wanted to escape with them, then he left by himself. And with that man, the Amar Ki Hadran, when he got back, Tahinu Baal Korchan, when they were saved, the daughters of Rav Nachman were also they were redeemed. Ayde Peruka Havu Chazibuhu Delo Havu Bachshon Kedera Miikara El Bechshafim. Then he understood that it was all just magic. So what does this mean? What's the last point? The idea. So I think the idea of magic is, I don't think it's, I mean, it could be that they believed in magic back then, but the other possibility is that he knew that it wasn't a nace. He knew that it wasn't Ashgacha. It wasn't this idea of mental toughness or a reflection of their attachment to Chachma and knowledge, but rather it was a physical idea, I think. I think it was an idea, like I was saying before, that women who cook a lot tend to, their hands desensitize to the heat. So it could be he realized after this whole story was over that their hands perhaps were desensitized to the heat. It wasn't a miracle. But what's the purpose of the story? So I think the purpose of the story in the Gemara is to teach us that a lot of times we see people who present themselves as very religious people. And that was the story over here, that the daughters of Rav Nachman were presenting themselves as very religious, tzidkanios. That's why they were demonstrating this miracle, so to speak, in front of other people. And furthermore, furthermore, Rav Ilish wanted to believe that they were tzidkanios. In fact, he says in the Gemara, Ha'ika de Benase de Rav Nachman, they're the daughters of Rav Nachman. So they're the daughters of this big Talmud Chacham. They're presenting the people with this great miracle, and they're trying to impress upon people that they're righteous. But in the bathroom, in the privacy of the bathroom, Rav Ilish finds out that they're not so righteous. That deep down inside, they slept with their captors, and they really enjoyed it, and they wanted to be with their captors. And then he realizes that it's just kshafim. So what does this teach you? It teaches you that you can't make assumptions about people based on how they look on the outside, what they're demonstrating, what they're presenting, until you know the inner workings of their minds and what's going on with them and what their thoughts are and their underlying belief system is. It's difficult to try to just, and you want to, meaning he wanted to believe that they are righteous. And there was a part of him that wanted to give into that. But he saw, through the whole story, he saw, and once he got into the inner workings of what was going on and what they really believed in and who they were really, that they loved their captors and they wanted to leave their husbands, once he saw that, he realized that it wasn't real. So the fact is that the Gemara is a metaphor. I think it's a literal Gemara. I don't think it's like a Medrash. But the Gemara is teaching us how we're supposed to be critical if something's off about a situation, even if you want to believe it to be true, especially by a righteous person, a person who presents themselves as being very righteous. You can't really judge that appropriately until you know what their thoughts are. They're in the privacy. And in this story, it was the privacy of the bathroom because they were talking to each other in the bathroom. But you can't really know what exactly is behind everything just from what you see. So I think that's the essential idea of the story. The essential idea of the story is that Mar Okva realized that even though emotionally and mentally he wanted to believe that they were special, that they were Tamidei Chachamim, but there was something off about it. And he understood that there was something off about it, but still he wanted to believe it. But eventually he found out that it wasn't the case, that deep down inside they weren't tzidkanios, they weren't righteous. And he was able to break down that emotion or that feeling that he had towards them, that perhaps they were righteous. But the purpose of this story is to teach us that concept, that you can't really judge a person based on their presentation of religiosity. When you see a hyper-religious look or a hyper-religious person, the person who wears the appropriate clothing or is looking like they're doing miracles, you can't judge them. You don't know what's going on. And that's the purpose of the story about Rav Nachman's daughters. Okay, so that's the end of the story. So there's just three parts of this year. The first part was the fire part. So the fire part is teaching us that the idea of a nace of fire is not just purely miraculous, but it's also based on a mental focus and toughness. And Rav Illish noticed that, in general, women didn't have the same level of mental toughness in this area that men did. So he saw and that's what the Tiferes Yaakov says, by Avraham, that Avraham was tested with fire, meaning that a lot of, and I don't know if this is the case because of society, but I think a lot of firemen tend to be men and not women. So it could be also, there's a certain fear that needs to be overcome when it comes to fire. And a lot of being damaged by fire is psychological, is mental. So Rav Illish he didn't understand this because of that factor. He didn't understand, or there was a part of that part of him that sense that knew that didn't want to or didn't accept the fact that Rav Nachman's daughters were doing this as tzidkanios, but nevertheless he wanted to inquire and investigate. So that's the first idea. The second idea is the story about the birds. I think the story of the birds is teaching us that when you're in a situation of danger, you a lot of times you project onto that which you hear and you want to believe. But Rav Illish was showing you that that's not really appropriate. That yeah, if the Orev might have been saying escape, and that's what Rav Illish wanted to hear, escape, escape, you're special, you're going to be saved. But until he had the accurate information, until he could analyze the situation outside of what he wanted to believe or wanted to think, so until that point he couldn't rely on the Hashgacha on Nis. But only once he had some insight from the Yonah and the idea that it was comparable to Noach and the concept that a Yonah is compared to Knesset Yisrael, only then was he able to or willing to rely somewhat on a miracle, on a Nis. And then finally, the last point is the purpose of the story. The purpose of the story is to teach us that you can't judge a person based on their outer religiosity. Because you see that Rav Nachman's daughters presented themselves as hyper-religious, as tzidkanios, but nevertheless, ultimately, deep down inside, they weren't that way. So Rav Illish discovered that, but it's to teach us this concept, the concept that you can't really judge a person. It's hard to believe a person just based on the way that they are outwardly and what they're presenting or demonstrating in public. All right? So that is the end of the shiur tonight. Thank you for calling in. Everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you.